Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 252. It's a Bloom Board Tuesday, everybody. It's a good one. It's if you listen to the show long enough, it'll make a ton of sense to you when we get to it. The Gene Segura All-Stars. We'll get to that, talk some news, and much, much more. But before we get there, you can find me on Twitter at BDEntric, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. And my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ, Ryan Bloomfield. How are we doing, my friend?
I am good. I'm glad I picked this topic for this evening. I don't know where the show is going to go tonight. It's either going to be therapeutic, depressing, somewhere in between. We have like, I'm pretty sure a record number of, I don't know, listener questions, but listener names, comments to throw out there for everyone's Gene Segura All-Star team as it turned into a venting thread for everyone's own team. But I don't know. We're just going to lay out a bunch of names tonight of players who haven't done much and are in your lineup. So kind of a sick, cruel topic, but I think it'll be fun nonetheless.
Oh, we'll have a blast with it. Not worried about that at all, because if anything, we're gonna the biggest perfect purpose of the Gene Segura All-Stars, and we'll get to this later, it's realizing even starting these guys and you probably shouldn't be. So we're gonna unveil some things that I guarantee you some listeners have no idea, and they just continually start these players, and that's kind of the purpose of
myself included. There are some of these names that have been thrown out. I'm like, oh yeah.
We are all guilty of this, So that'll be a kind of a workshop for us to go through this mess. And we won't even hit them all. We might by the time the Discord names get done, but we'll see where that one takes place. And God forbid you guys, if you guys want some comedy relief, watch me try to navigate that minefield later on in the show, because that's going to be a project in itself. But before we get to that, let's talk some news real quick, Ryan. There's a, not sure if anybody noticed, but on Sunday, Father's Day, hope you had a great Father's Day, my friend. I was sitting on the beach drinking a High Noon while my daughter was playing with her sand toys, because she loves the beach. So that's what we do on Father's Day. And my phone starts blowing up. It's blowing up. Not sure why. I look, I got a text message from Ryan Bloomfield. And it's something along the lines of, no way. And I'm like, what are we talking about? So I open up the old Twitter bot. Rafael Devers is a San Francisco Giant, and I had to search like four different times to make sure it was legit. It was awesome. He gets traded for Kyle Harrison and some other players. Really not that important to me at this point in time. Devers tripled or doubled. He triples alley, got a double because he's Rafael Devers on Tuesday evening. But he's a Giant, and I am so pumped because the Giants have built a core that's going to be around, barring something weird, over the next 4 or 5 years at least. This is it's been a while since the Giants have felt like this.
I'm proud I broke the news to you, I guess. 3:53 Sunday, the text came in. It was actually funny. So my dad's a Red Sox fan. Papa Bloom's a Red Sox fan. And
I didn't know that. I should have texted him. Dang.
It gets better. So my uncle is in town. My dad's brother. He is a Giants fan. Diehard Giants fan.
Met him in Arizona.
You met him in Arizona at first pitch. And I was literally driving over to my dad's house when I saw the news break. I texted you, and I got to break them the news. My dad was pissed. My uncle was obviously head over heels. So that was pretty damn cool. That was a nice Father's Day thing there. I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to analyze this thing, but it was nuts. I think just fantasy-wise, I know you're stoked about Devers. Not much you can do about Devers. If you have Devers, don't love the lefty in that park, but whatever. I'm most curious about what the Red Sox do.
100%. Yes.
Like, they could take this two ways, right? They could save their money, see this new core that they have coming up and not extend them and just kind of play around. Or do they use the money they save from Devers to lock up your Roman Anthony, your Marcelo Meyer, who the hell's their third guy? Who am I forgetting?
Dude, I just blanked too. He's been playing all season, start of the year with him.
Christian Campbell. Who is a Gene Segura All-Star, by the way?
Yes.
Do they use the money they save with Devers to lock those guys up and kind of establish their new core? If they do that, I get it. If not, it would be a missed opportunity. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. They've already talked about that they're looking into, like, you know, Kyle Tucker is a free agent next year, all these things that they could potentially bring into the fold. You know, that's wish casting. I would personally rather spend it on those prospects. We'll see how that plays out with the Red Sox. Like, Yeah, from a fantasy angle, I mentioned earlier, like if you're in an NL only league, you just dropped a hammer on Rafael Devers coming your direction. That's a massive boom. Otherwise, like you said, it doesn't really matter. I still think he's going to be fine because if he pulls the baseball, he's got nothing to worry about in that ballpark. Like he's going to hit that cove a lot, which is going to be really nice. But yeah, with the Red Sox, like DH. Like who DH is now? Does Masataka Yoshida finally get the chance to DH? Does he come up and do that? Do they, you know, does it just give him a chance to revolve like the Dodgers usually do when you get Anthony and Meyer and all these guys just days off but hit type situations?
Yeah,
a lot of weird moving part. Like now, Willy Abreu is pretty safe as well because he can play Abreu, Rafaela, Anthony, and like all the time basically. So that's an option.
Yep.
It'll be interesting to see how it shakes out. Abreu's going to start a rehab assignment this week, so that's something to keep in mind. One last thing I'll mention on the Giants side. I can't wait till Saturday's game when I'm there because
– You will be there.
Yes, it's going to be great because the Giants have flat out said he's going to DH and play first base, so it's going to be so good.
That's going to be awesome. It'd be even sweeter if, like, Kyle Harrison was pitching that game because I think he was lined up too, but – Probably not anymore.
He's in Triple A. He's in Triple A now. They sent him down immediately. So we'll see how that goes. I know somebody around here because Kyle Harrison is from the Salinas area, which is close to me. And so people have played travel ball with him and stuff. And like the current travel ball team went to spring training and Harrison showed him around and gave him a tour and all this kind of stuff. So this guy knows Harrison's dad and they're all very excited about it because, in San Francisco, it's a great chance. He's kind of blocked. Where in Boston, Hunter Dobbins is blocking him. Like Dobbins has been good, but there's a chance Harrison can actually like sink his feet into a rotation spot, which is pretty good to see as well. So something to keep in mind. Yes, he's in AAA for now, but if he can stash, I wouldn't think it's a bad idea personally. We'll see where that one takes place. Yeah. Other than that, that's about it for the Devers deal. Nothing you can do. Lance McCullers hits the IL with a freak injury, Joe Musgrove-esque on this one. Weight room injury, sprained foot just below the big toe. Maybe it'll be broken by the time the Astros really figure out what's going on. We'll see. 15-day IL. Gusto started Monday. Jason Alexander started on Tuesday. There's a lot of kind of potential lingering effects here. What are your thoughts?
Right. And like what's our confidence level here in the Astros accurately diagnosing this thing?
I'm expecting him to cut his foot off by Thursday.
Amputation by 4th of July.
Like he has sepsis that goes all the way up his leg and they have to just amputate it or something.
Yeah. I mean, I hate to laugh at that for Lance McCullers' sake. It's been a long road back for our guy and he's shown some signs, but good God, like what? I don't know.
Like Yordan's still not swinging a bat yet, by the way. Just think about that.
Right. I noticed that today, which fantastic. So as my listener league team further dives into the cellar. I mean, I talked about on the Fab show last Thursday, how like are the Houston, you know, is Houston going to stick with a six man? How long does that last? And this is example number 5,922 of a six man not lasting. So like, yeah, Jason Alexander is up for a spot start, but I would think it's Valdez, Gordon, Brown, Walter, Gusto, at least in for the foreseeable future. And I honestly like all of those guys, except maybe, I mean, Gusto is more matchup dependent, but like Brandon Walter's been
love it.
Freaking awesome. Colton Gordon's been decent as well. Does go to Sacramento this week. So I don't love that, but it'll be a nice chance for those guys to kind of show what they can do in the rotation and, fab wise, matchup wise, I like Gordon and Walter, even though they all have first names as names. So
yeah, you know, it's whatever. The two first name squad right about now. As you mentioned, really good options, but definitely matchup dependent. Like Walter gets the Angels this week, awesome.
Yep,
Cubs next week, we'll see. So, but
not as great.
I noticed that by using the matchups tool that you have put together. So it opened my eyes to yes, and then sit, and then maybe yes again type deal. So definitely keep those in mind, but options we will be streaming throughout the rest of the season, at least until McCullers comes back. I'm saying it's the rest of the season until I hear otherwise. Tyler McGill of the New York Mets hits the IL with a sprained elbow. They say there's no ligament damage. We shall see, of course, on this one. He's going to be shut down for 10 days, and then he'll have to ramp back up. The Mets are saying 4 to 5 weeks at best right now with Tyler McGill. I'm waiting for the message in about 5 to 7 days where it's much longer. It's my concern. So where are you at on this McGill situation?
That's my concern too. And it's and though Tyler McGill has pitched well, like very well, at 30% K rate, like the walks have been there, but like a ton of whiffs. I don't know if this is like if whoa, what the hell's going on?
What is that? I have no idea.
Fix it. You're the host.
There we go.
Tyler McGill. So our streamer just went crazy there. I don't know if he's good enough to hold. If it's going to be 4 to 5 weeks, yes, the strikeouts have been there, but like, I don't know. If you're like any of my other teams, you got two or other three IL guys, and it's just a tough hold if you've got other stuff piled on top of there. So I'm curious. Who's coming in for the Mets?
That's the million-dollar question. They're saying we could get, I believe I was reading,
be Montas, Manaea, one of those guys?
Montas is due back next week, but they might rush him back because he technically could have come back on this last one, but he was so bad in that start. I think they wanted to wait a bit. It's still kind of in flux at the moment. Justin Garza was recalled from AAA. They haven't really penciled it all out at the moment is the best way I can put it.
I mean, Fangraphs has, again, grain of salt. They have Brandon Sproat on Friday. I haven't.
Would be awesome. It's his turn in the rotation from what I saw, so that'd be awesome. And if that happens, that makes me really think that this McGill thing might be worse than we're leading on to.
Right. If it happens, we'll see. We'll get more word by Thursday by the Fab Show if that happens. But yeah, the Mets don't have an off day this week. They don't have an off day. They get a 7-game week next week, so they're going to have to kind of figure this out. And it's, yeah, it could be Sproat. I don't know. We'll see.
That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome if that actually came to fruition. All right, Ryan, here we go again. This is, he could have been a Gene Segura All-Star, honestly. Royce Lewis back to the IL with a hamstring.
He was. I took him off because he's hurt.
Okay. And like, there you go. See, there you go. This was a shame because it was a slow start. We talked about him before. Underlying metrics looked good. Like, okay, you know, he missed a lot of the year. Let's just let him kind of get comfortable. He was kind of showing signs of life the last couple of days before the injury. Back on the IL, he says it wasn't bad. Like he wanted to keep like playing. Again, players always tell the truth. So we'll see on this one. Hopefully, it's a minor situation, but not good, Bob.
Yeah, Royce Lewis did make the cut because he had pretty much done. I think it was like a 210 batting average since May 1st with I think 2 home runs. So with plenty of playing time, and that I mean that was the thing last year with Royce Lewis is like it wasn't just the injury history. It was the injury history, but he also needs to be a lot better than what we saw in the second half from Royce Lewis. So neither of those things have happened. Brooks Lee's hitting pretty well.
Yep.
Lately.
Playing second, third. 16 games. Yep.
Yeah. So I think a pretty decent fab option up the middle and even corner as well, if he's eligible. So Brooks Lee, prospect pedigree, playing time. I like that as a short-term fab ad if you need somebody there.
Yep, got a Brooks Lee share this last weekend. For a matter of fact, Willie Castro starting to swing it really well. He's another guy that's got that third base on that squad. If you want other third base, your boy Maximus Muncy is producing in Sacramento. So there are options out there, to say the least. Bowden Francis to the IL with a common injury we're seeing these days, shoulder impingement, Ryan. Most of these lead to something else down the road along, you know, layoff a couple months. It's usually like 8 to 12 weeks, it sounds like. I didn't have any Francis in my life anyways, but just throwing it out there.
No, I think no offense to Bowden, his family, doing us a favor by going on the IL there. Get him out of your lineups. Pretty rough regression year that I think we all saw coming from Bowden Francis. So
last bit of news I have here is Jackson Merrill hit the concussion IL, looked pretty nasty over the weekend when he was basically like comatose on the ground when he hurt his head, one would say, in a collision. So he's on the IL. You never know how these things last. So I just want to throw that out there to the listeners. No idea where this one's going, and you don't really want many of the options that are taking his place, I don't think.
No, though, as you were speaking, Trenton Brooks just hit his first home run.
Well, that's who they called up. So maybe there's something there.
Not gonna lie. Not totally sure who Trenton Brooks is. Has a killer mustache though.
Yes, he does. So. He has a great mustache game. He had some pop at AAA. Just not a guy I'm overly investing in.
Agreed. Tough year for Jackson Merrill. I know you and Ben were talking at least at the top event with Bubba earlier on Tuesday. Ben was kind of saying this is just kind of a rough loss season for Merrill, but looking ahead to 26, I know the season's not over by any means, but could be an interesting buy low depending on what that ADP is. I agree with that one for sure.
Yeah, Ben was saying like around five ADP and a 15. I'm like, I would eat that alive. Yeah. If you can get that kind of production there, pretty sweet. And I think that's fair too. So he's more of a 2020 guy. He's more of a, he's a better Michael Harris. So that checks out.
How are you feeling about that Wyatt Langford beer bet against Jackson Merrill? I'm not feeling too good.
I'm feeling great.
Not feeling too good about that one.
I can't remember if we did it off the air or on the air. I think it was off the air. We went through the bets, just the two of us. And I think I have like two or three Wyatt Langford bets. I'm invested in Wyatt Langford.
Yeah, you've got two Wyatt Langfords. You're beating me in both. I think the other is Michael Harris.
Yes, it is. Yes. So, I was very confident in that one out the gate. That one I wasn't too concerned about. So now I'm going to lose it after saying those words. But yes, Wyatt Langford, do your thing, boy. Loving it. Loving it. All right, Ryan, the moment we have all been waiting for. We have an award. We have an award for this at the end of the season, the Gene Segura All-Star Award.
We do.
Who was the most Gene Segura player of the season? Now we have a balloon board midseason because we are literally when you guys listen to this on like Wednesday, that is about the midway point of the season because we are going to be, we just did week 13 fab. We're going to do week 14 this weekend. There's 27 weeks. Do the quick math. Middle of this week's pretty much midway point of the season. So this is fitting. Our midway of the season, Gene Segura All-Stars, Ryan, what are we looking at?
All right. So for newer listeners to the show, folks who haven't, you know, don't know what a Gene Segura All-Star is, kind of somewhat of a stray to Gene Segura, who legitimately had a pretty good career.
Fair. Yes.
Just retired. But this goes back to like Gene Segura's last couple of years when he was with the Phillies. And I just kind of picked on him because he was on a bunch of my teams and it was around this time. It was mid-June, about halfway through the season. It's someone who is you drafted kind of in the middle rounds, like someone who you're kind of depending on. It's someone who is playing every day, like hasn't really been hurt, not really much news around him. Every Monday or whatever, when you're setting lineups, you just quickly glance at the name and you're like, yeah, he's in, he's playing, he's safe. I'm just going to keep, you know, set and forget. And then you kind of look and you realize he's done absolutely nothing for your team for quite some time. And that's the trap we fall in. At least I fall in. I know, judging from the comments in the Discord that we've gotten for our patrons' nominations for their Gene Segura All-Stars, this is a very easy trap to fall in where you just have somebody who's not producing, but you just keep them in, and they've done absolutely... It's basically like taking a zero, which like in fantasy circles is like this forbidden fruit, whatever, when these guys are kind of littered on a bunch of people's rosters. So the point of tonight is to not get us, you know, totally depressed by mentioning a bunch of players who have done nothing recently, but just open your eyes to, if you have some of these guys on your teams, maybe you want to look at some plan Bs for a couple of weeks. Maybe you want to bench. I'm not saying all these guys you want to cut, but just realize they are probably on your team or starting and they are not doing anything. So the board to kind of put some structure on this, the balloon board that the YouTube folks are looking at tonight is anybody since May 1st with a minimum of 15 runs or RBI. So this is like 6 weeks of 15 runs or RBI, a maximum of 3 home runs, a maximum of 3 steals, and a max of 250. I put min on the balloon board. That is incorrect. Got to be under all those. And you've got to have a bunch of plate appearances, 100 plate appearances. So I put the kind of the 5 categories of stats on the balloon board. I also threw the ownership and the start percentages on the NFBC for 12 team leagues. Some of these guys are widely, not only owned, but widely started as well. So I just figured that was an interesting kind of knife to twist to see how many rosters these guys are still on in 12 teamers. And it's even worse in 15s, I'm sure.
Oh, way worse in 15s. Yeah, these guys are probably started closer to the ownership percentage in 12s compared to the roster rates. And
yeah,
that'll sting for sure. So I'm very happy to see this first name up here because I have my recent risers and fallers column. Ozzy Albies is a massive faller of late. On the season, he's 100% owned in OCs, started in 88% of them. It's been bad, like brutal for Ozzy Albies. You're using the May 1st designation that you have there, 209, 15 runs, 2 homers, 12 RBIs, 2 steals. Like, if you want to just extrapolate farther, he's hitting 223 on the season with 6 home runs and 6 steals. It is brutal for Ozzy Albies and everyone. Almost everyone. I actually heard people dropped him this last week, surprisingly enough, in certain formats, in like different formats, not these, obviously. But it's bad, and you cannot be starting him right now.
Cannot, even though 88% are. I think with somebody like Albies, like, you have gotten nothing from him the last 6 weeks. I still think this is someone, given the track record, I think you just eat it and keep starting him. I mean, I think you're just kind of getting too cute and trying to time it if you're benching Ozzy Albies. Maybe I'm too stubborn. Maybe I'm too old in my ways of these early round guys. You just set them, forget. I still think it's the right move to keep Albies in. I know you disagree, but that's okay. That's why we're here.
Let's talk since May 1st, 1.7% barrel rate.
Oh, it's
29.3%. I'm just throwing it. 29.3% hard hit rate. Let's get the plate discipline out here. He has a 64% O contact and a 33% O swing, a 78% contact rate and 11.5% swinging strike. Like,
I mean, you could list every number. I fully agree with you. He has been truly terrible.
No, I'm just trying to throw out angles of maybe you shouldn't start him out of just being.
I don't know.
This is
I just think it ebbs and flows. Like, like Joe in the chat says, Marcus Semien was on this list until late May. Marcus Semien has been good again. I like Albies even more than Semien. I just think you ride these guys out, and at some point they're going to get hot. You don't want to miss the hot week, is all I'm saying.
All right. All righty. Let's look at Jorge Soler. Now, you talk about a streaky guy, not to mention the injuries he's been dealing with between backs and everything else. Soler, 80% rostered, 60% started, hitting 185 with 3 home runs. You kind of expect a low average. You don't expect 185, and you expect a ton of power. You're not getting any of that right now.
Yeah.
I would confidently say you can sit Soler. You could, in a 12, technically drop Soler if you really wanted to. If you want to get, because I've become more ruthless with my drops this year, I would be okay with dropping Soler in a 12 team league right now.
Yeah. I'm proud of myself. I picked up on this one in Tout Wars, which is 15 teams and unlimited IL. So it's even deeper than 15 teams. I've been benching Soler the last 3-4 weeks just because, it has been brutal. This is the problem with the power only guys, right? If the power goes out, you've got nothing else to fall back on. So Jorge Soler down to 80% ownership in 12 teamers. I'm with you. If you've got better options, if you want to be aggressive with drops and 12s, I can see dropping Jorge Soler. The barrel rate is down to 10%, which is still above average. League average is like 8.5%. But like, you need Jorge Soler to be twice as good as average for him to be useful, given the lack of speed, the lack of counting stats in that lineup, and obviously the 185 batting average since May 1st.
For sure. And as Michael C says, this is the case for a lot of these guys. He says maybe Albies is hurt, his average EV is down. Like, yeah, there's a lot to that as well. He could be, a lot of these guys could be, like I said, Soler's been dealing with back and hamstring injuries, back and groin injuries for a couple months now. So there are lingering situations as well. Jake Cronenworth is, I know, one because he's first base, second base. People are just like, oh, I love the flexibility. Everyone believes the Padres' offense is so good, and really, they are middle of the pack these days. They're not really, like, shocking the world at the moment. Cronenworth's hitting 228, 3 home runs, 14 runs, 12 RBIs, only one steal since May 1st. That's a tough one to stomach right there.
It's a tough one to stomach, and really the whole season, because Cronenworth missed like a month with a rib fracture, missed pretty much all of April. So like, this is a guy who, you can look at the May 1st numbers that are, they're bad, but on the season, Cronenworth 235, 5 home runs, 1 stolen base. I have Jake Cronenworth in mixed labor, 15 teamer. And I fully agree with you, right? Like, the first base, second base, someone who's playing every day, like in what you think is a good lineup. And it's like, actually nothing has really been there for Cronenworth. I didn't really pick up on this one myself until like 2 weeks ago when I started benching the Crone Zone. So I don't know, you know, I don't know what the outlook looks like for Jake Cronenworth. The power skills don't look so hot. Nice walk rate, but that doesn't really matter to me in 5x5 leagues and fantasy. So this is one where, again, and if you're in 12 teamers, it's 73% ownership. I could see you definitely cutting, because I don't know, the multi-position, like the corner middle, that makes it, like, to me, like, harder to cut, but like, you're just getting nothing at more positions than if someone just qualifies as a single position. So,
well, it's kind of like we were talking about earlier. So for like a guy like Cronenworth, go take a chance on Max Muncy. Go take a chance on Brooks
like
Lee.
A ceiling. Like,
go take those type of guys. Play them while they're streaking. These teams are going to be so many more injuries the next half of the season. Just in an OC, you can do these for $1 to $10 throughout the season. Just flip. Miguel Vargas, you could have had him. Actually, he still got picked up in like six leagues this last week we talked about in OC. So he's still floating around there. Like, there's a ton of options if you really want to get down to it.
And the other thing I'll just add real quick is, yeah, Jake Cronenworth and before the injury was hitting 300 with two home runs, as Joe in the chat points out. Joe was so good. And that's where these guys can get you. And that's why I have a May 1st thing on here, is you have these preconceived notions of guys who start hot. We'll get to Kieber Ruiz in just a second. We will get to Carson Kelly later on. Did not expect to see him on this list. It's guys who start hot and you think you're good. And then quietly they've done nothing for 6 weeks.
This next one is good. Jorge Polanco. Talk about
another example.
We'll talk about a streaky hitter here. This is where I'm going to kind of give you some Ozzie Albies potentially love here. Polanco hitting a buck 90, two home runs, two steals since May 1st. Jorge Polanco was one of the hottest hitters in baseball for like 10 days, and then he gets banged up again. Things are struggling. But I want to point out, since June 1st, hitting 259, one home run, two steals. So his two steals that he has since May 1st have all come in like the last seven games. And he's starting to swing it good again. This is the Polanco we're going to deal with all year. You just got to realize that. But to your point with Albies, I wanted to bring it back here. Did you want to miss this last like week and a half for Polanco? Probably not.
Probably not. And I was going to say he fell into a platoon for a little bit, but seems to be back on track there. Yeah, this is one where the streakiness is a little tough. You do not want to miss out on the good Jorge Polanco, especially while he's healthy. I feel like this is someone you just ride with while we think at least he's healthy, because at some point those lower limbs are going to give out on Polanco again. So yeah, it's been a brutal stretch, but I don't know. Still, even the last 6 weeks, two homers, two steals, like, it's not nothing. But yeah, you don't want to miss out too much on a good Jorge Polanco stretch. So I'd say keep him in definitely in 15s and 12s. I could see a bench, but not cut, which is kind of what like the OC, the 12 team NFBCers are doing with the 74% ownership, 42% start.
For sure. Christian Campbell, this is one where everyone spent that money early, got those late draft shares, whatever you want to call it. He's only 33% started right now. He's only 77% rostered, so he's available in 23% of OCs, as he's hitting 164 with two home runs since May 1st. It's been dreadful, dreadful for Christian Campbell.
It has been, though. I don't know if this quite fits the like Gene Segura mold, because Christian Campbell, like, everyone has eyes on Christian Campbell. Like, I think if you have Christian Campbell on your team, you're actively tracking, like, if he does something or if he does not do anything, especially with all the media circus around the Red Sox this season. It's kind of been hard for Christian Campbell to slip under the radar. But yes, certainly the 33% of OC owners still starting Christian Campbell, that's a tough start in 12s. Despite the ceiling, the long-term ceiling for Christian Campbell, I'm totally on board if you want to cut and move on.
Yep. Time to cut bait there, I'm pretty sure. This one, I hope people already cut bait on. Michael Conforto, 182, two home runs since May 1st. Not even playing every day. He's in a platoon. He's almost the fourth outfielder, essentially, with the Dodgers right now. We've talked about him a few weeks ago when I said I was starting to drop him. You can continue doing that if you'd like to. He's literally 10% started right now.
Yeah, and he was a pretty – I almost took Conforto off this list because he's been bad – from the get-go. I think he might have had like an early home run and you're like, yeah, but this is somebody who I was very, I want to say confident in. I had a lot of Michael Conforto as like a fourth or fifth outfielder. We talked about that dead zone of outfield, Platoonville, this past draft season, and Conforto seemed like one of the few full-time players in a great lineup. And that just has not worked out. Michael Conforto homered. He had two home runs by April 5th. Homered against Atlanta, homered at Philly on the 5th. So was looking good for about a week and then has done nothing since then.
Absolutely nothing. Kyle Manzardo, a player I dropped a couple of weeks ago. And I'm feeling good about that one. Hitting 198, three home runs since May 1st. He had a home run on June 4th. That was his first since May 14th.
Oh.
And now he's platooning with David Fry. Like, he sat tonight versus Robbie Ray, got a pinch hit late. This is tough to roster in a 12, and that's why you see his roster rate has dropped to 46% and started in 15% of leagues.
And that's where I always say, once the playing time goes, that's when you have to cut bait. And we're seeing that with Manzardo in a platoon. So a little bit not Segura-esque because he is not playing every day. Manzardo isn't, but that's pretty much your immediate cue to cut and move on, unless it's like an all right-handed week for the Guardians. And it hasn't been for some time.
Yep, totally agree. Love seeing this one on the list. Kyber Ruiz hitting 211, zero home runs and since May 1st. He had those like couple home runs right out the gate, then nada. Still started in 71% of OCs. I mentioned to you like a week or two ago on the Fab show when some of these catching prospects came up. I'm like, yeah, I'll drop Kyber. And you kind of for a second, like, what? And then we talked about it. And it's only gotten worse since then. So I only still have him, I think, in 15s and 12s. He's long gone.
No, this is a major L for me to not only. Yeah, it was when I was on the RotoWire show with Genstad. That was the Kyle Teal Fab week. And I was like, oh, I'm not going to pick up Teal if I'm happy with my two catchers. I've got somebody, and I've got Kieber Ruiz. We started talking about Ruiz. It's like, yeah, he hasn't homered since April. Like this sports is May 1st, but Kieber Ruiz has not homered since April. And I've been way late on that. Even in DC, it's like I remember on Monday, and it was just this Monday when I finally benched Kieber Ruiz for like Edgar Caro. Probably should have done that a long time ago. And your Caro's been, you know, hasn't been setting the world on fire himself, but this is somebody who I really liked. I think we both did. I want to put words in your mouth before the season. And so you kind of develop your biases with these guys too. It's like, I like Kieber Ruiz. He started the season really well. And someone who plays every single day, and especially as a catcher, it's like, I'm not going to actively try and replace Kieber Ruiz. And I've had that mindset for almost half the season now, and I have pretty much nothing to show for it. So,
yeah, you can speak for me because I was all in on him also. I had a lot of shares of him as my catcher too. I just loved like the batting average profile, you know, 15 mm-hmm. home runs. Like there's so many things that looked promising as a catcher too. And his price tag, obviously the price tag was why it was for a reason, apparently, because the rest of it did not follow when it came to Ruiz. And maybe he's still hurt. Who knows? But pretty. Okay, Uncle Ted, this is foolish, but he hasn't hurt you. He's crushed you, Uncle Ted. He's crushed you. Stop.
Yeah, man. Eight runs, 10 RBI, and a 211 batting. See, like I look at Kieber Ruiz even the season today. I was getting heated. I love it.
If you're gonna put 15,000 messages in the chat, get something right.
Yeah, I look at the season to date. It's like Kieber Ruiz is hitting like 250, 255 on the season. And that's, I'm like Uncle Ted. I'm telling myself, well, he hasn't hurt me. He's hitting 255. Like, that's not, you know, that's not going to kill you. But he's hitting 211 since May 1st. Like, that he has been terrible. So,
yes. Yes, he has been terrible. I'm saying he isn't valuable. He is not valuable, Ted. That is correct. That is English. Not valuable, Ted. All right, next up on the list here, Gavin Lux. Gavin Lux, this is another one of those. He like started out pretty good. There's optimism. Playing time was there for Lux. And then it's turned into kind of like a batting average guy. So only 241 right now, so it's kind of been even worse of late. But for a while, there was like strictly batting average, no power. He still has no power. He's not even stealing bases. So he is the epitome of Gene Segura, honestly, where he's not like – horrible like some of the other guys, but he's definitely not helping you at all in a 12-team league.
Definitely not helping you at all. I mean, even yeah, on the season, two homers, one stolen base on the season for Gavin Lux. A little bit non-Segura-esque because he doesn't, does he? No, yeah, he doesn't play against lefties. So yeah, that is kind of like the part where you can kind of get tipped off on these guys where it's like, okay, I can move on. I can cut. It was once, at least for me, once I see the playing time is gone and they're in a platoon, just like Manzardo, that kind of tips me off. And I say, okay, I can move, where some of these other guys who have been playing every day throughout this, those are the ones who still kind of fly under the radar. But yeah, Gavin Lux, who a lot of people, you know, I was kind of back in on Gavin Lux with the ballpark, but cannot believe he has 3 homers plus steals on the season. That is truly terrible.
Yeah, it's bad. And what's worse is Pavin Smith, who I know myself, others, very excited about this season. The new jock in Arizona that has not panned out since May 1st, hitting .218, 1 homer, 1 steal. It's even worse since May 1st. Dude's striking out 33.3% of the time. He's hitting .218 with a .344 BABIP. That shouldn't fly in most situations. 4.8% barrel rate. Like, we expected power and success from him. There's nothing coming across the board. He's pretty much the only way he's starting on my team right now is if I have injuries that need a corner infielder, essentially, because I have enough outfielders. Like, you can stream outfielders in 12. You don't need Pavin Smith right now.
Yep, agreed. And this is also big. Like, I feel like this is Pavin Smith could be this year's like Ryan O'Hearn from last year, who started strong in 2024. So you just have in your mind, oh, he's a great streamer. I'm automatically, when the Orioles and now the Diamondbacks face a bunch of right-handed pitching, you kind of automatically say, oh, I'm gonna start Pavin Smith. I'm gonna start Ryan O'Hearn from last year. And Ryan O'Hearn did pretty much nothing in the second half. He's been good in 2025, but did nothing in the second half last year. And how quickly can you kind of adapt to that and avoid falling in that trap? Because you're falling in the same thing with Pavin Smith this year, where you're actually fabbing him as a streamer, wasting fab money and getting nothing for it.
Yep, most definitely. Real quick before we get to the last one here, if you're watching the A's game, Willie MacGyver is pitching. MacGyver is using the jack of all trades is on the mound.
Jack of all trades, another tool in the box for MacGyver. Yep. There.
Yeah,
I'm not turning that on, dude. I don't want to watch.
I just made me laugh. I looked up and saw that. All right, last one here is Carson Kelly, and like you said earlier, I'm glad he's on this list because similar to Kyber Ruiz, I dropped Carson Kelly a few weeks ago. Like I caught up to this. I was rostering him everywhere. He was already tough to roster because he was basically splitting time or even maybe less than 50-50 with Miguel Amaya before Amaya got hurt. He was just crushing everything. So I was like, okay, I can live with that. Then he gets more playing time and the production sucks. So it just completely went out the window. I moved on here, hitting .183, 2 homers since May 1st.
Just another case. Again, you're quicker on this stuff than I am. So this is my own kind of mea culpa. But another case of just someone who starts super hot, you think you're set. And that's the most dangerous one to find, when the April looks good, but then quietly doing nothing in May and June. So Carson Kelly, he's last on this list because he has the fewest plate appearances since May 1st, 103. But that's because he is a catcher. So he is getting regular playing time, but it's not there. Did you skip someone on purpose or?
Oh, no, I didn't. But we shall get to him.
Just checking. I know you're a pro, so I don't want to. I don't want to mess with your flow.
Got a little excited there about Kyber Ruiz, so we missed Luis.
You did.
let's get to the mascot, the man, the myth, the legend, Luis Rengifo, who it's been a rough year. It's the nicest way I could put it. In 203, 2 homers, 2 steals since May 1st. Those 2 homers came like 2 games ago.
Yep.
The steals have come very recently as well. So it was way worse than this if we did this board last week with Luis Rengifo. Funny enough, picked him up in a 12-teamer this week. A lot of people did, actually, because I think it's just one of those things. Is he healthy? Is he getting healthy? Try to ride it while you can. But to the point of this exercise, it's been dreadful.
Absolutely dreadful. Yeah, I almost wish we did this last week when it was 0 home runs and a sub-200 batting average for Luis Rengifo since May 1st. And that's kind of the bad thing is Rengifo does this, the double dong game, when he is pretty much not rostered by anybody. Rengifo's up to 31% started in 12 teamers, but I think that's because of what at least we saw last week from him. So gets the double dong on nobody's starting lineup, and then you get the whipsaw potentially if Luis Rengifo goes back to what he's been this year. So this is a sad one, man. This is our mascot. This is our guy. We loved him last year. We rallied around him last year. I'm not giving up on him just because I can't. I'm loyal to a fault. People who are loyal to me. But man, it's been bad. Man, it's been bad.
I'm still riding that roller coaster. I weirdly enough, have more faith in him than I do Ozzy Albies. Weirdly enough,
what? But, dude,
almost what it's did almost Ozzy the same Albies stat do to line. You? It's almost the same stat line. Runs and RBIs Albies? Are a little different, but everything else is pretty freaking close.
No, yeah, you're right. Jesus, honestly, the only difference is runs and RBI. That's because Albies is on the Braves and Rengifo's on the Angels.
And at least Rengifo's got second, third eligibility, so I can fluctuate him throughout my lineup. Where
I would argue that's not a good thing to be multi eligible.
It keeps telling me to play him is what it does. That's the problem. Exactly. Good point. Exactly. All right, before we get to the Discord list, get your notepads ready, folks, and get your laughing tracks ready as well with me trying to navigate. We do have two I kept here for in the YouTube chat here. Adam Brunson says, had at least one share of Campbell, Conforto, Smith, and Cronenworth across my OCs. Only Cronenworth is still on my roster and starting in one league. Yeah, but see, he's also pulling the pin. That's good.
That's a blessing in disguise, but yeah, at least you're pulling the pin there, Adam, and probably keeping to my point, keeping Cronenworth. Don't want to put words in your mouth, Adam, but probably keeping Cronenworth because he is multi eligible and can fill some holes when in reality he's creating more holes. Exactly.
Yes. And then Kevin Hastings says Ian Happ had 3 home runs in 2 days earlier last week for 5 since May 1st and 7 all year. Just 4 stolen bases, as good as Cubs lineup has been.
Yeah.
Only on pace for 60 RBIs. Runs is the only. I agree with this, and this is one where playing DFS helps me, because when I stack Cubs, I have not played Hap because I continually check his game logs, and it's just like, what happened to our man? What's going on here? It's been down.
I think Kiber Ruiz went 2 for 4 tonight, Bubba. So
he did. He did go 2 for 4. He's hit safely in all like 3 games since June 1st, but he's hitting like .250 since June 1st, which is an improvement. So I shouldn't knock it. That is definitely an improvement to helping my, you know, rosters out left and right as we get going. All right. Show questions in the
chat. No, he went 1 for 4. He went 1 for 4 tonight.
No, he went 2 for 4. He went 2 for 4.
No, he didn't. Am I looking at the wrong day?
Rengifo?
Oh, no. Kiber Ruiz.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Rengifo. I don't care about Ruiz. He's not in my rosters anymore. All right. Let me see if I can find where
this began.
Trying to
poke the bear. Yeah, get in Discord. This was cool. This was cool to see everybody. And again, the Discord, like, not to toot our own horn, but like, this is where we've been hanging out all season. It's been a freaking blast. And this turned into a full-on therapy session, vent session, soliciting questions for the show tonight.
Yeah, it's more like they're listing their all-stars. So Ben Tidd says, here comes Rengifo from the King. That was basically targeted at Kurland, of course. Aaron Gifts mentions Kiber Ruiz. Yes, and he got a lot of love on that one. Here's a good one, not from the list. BP says Bryson Stott. And I'm going to pull him up, and I kind of see where he's going with this, because this is kind of one of the problems I had with Bryson Stott during draft season when we talked about Bryson Stott. Like, yeah, he gets steals, but there's the playing time, which has been fine right now. But there's, like, since May 1st, 2 homers, only 4 steals by hitting .193. That'll do it.
Ouch.
That'll
do it. Any power?
2 homers, 3 doubles. He has a .062 ISO.
Yeah. And then the last month for Bryson Stott, the last month, 189 batting average, 3 RBI. That's the hidden killer. It's like the runs and RBI. 3 RBI for Bryson Stott.
Especially on the Phillies.
Exactly. And I know he's lead off, but like, or at least has been lead off against right-handed pitching.
Yeah, like the team says he doesn't play versus lefties. That was a big concern during draft season. So
yeah. So I like that one, BP.
Yeah, good call on BP.
Kurland lists his entire main event roster. So
yeah, because his main event, if no one's paying attention, Kurland's main event's in the trash right now. And that's his words.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, his words, not mine. But there's still time, Kurland. You are the king. He's got Rengifo, Xavier Edwards, suddenly no stolen bases for over a month. I think he stole one today, actually.
Stole one tonight. So yep. We're back.
Lars Nootbaar for like the last month. That's true. Nootbaar was like on a heater, then nowhere. And then Andrés Giménez, since he got hurt, still hasn't done anything.
Yeah, and it's not total Gene Segura, but like, I know Kurland's just naming players who haven't played well. You always want to be careful right after injury. I think we're seeing it a little bit with Tommy Edman, Teoscar. Teoscar's heating up a little bit, but coming right off the IL can be rough. Lars Nootbaar, that's the good of this exercise. I do not have any Lars Nootbaar. I don't even know if he hasn't been good lately.
Nope. He has not been good. Like, if we want to add context to that, for the listeners. Oh,
one home run, no steals. 169 batting average, 4 RBI for Lars Nootbaar in his last 100 plate appearances.
Pretty bad. Pretty bad, wow. Folks. You're an Andrés Giménez manager, yeah. So you feeling that pain still?
I am feeling the pain. I kept telling myself once Giménez got back, like, at least he's running, and before the IL stint, at least he was running. Andrés Giménez, 375 OBP since he's been back in 33 plate appearances, 0 stolen base attempts. So I keep telling myself he's running, and he's not, which is not great.
He's no Forrest Gump. King Kernlin also mentions Jonathan India. He finally showed life before the shoulder thing. Still mostly useless. That's great.
Yeah. Yep.
Adam Warner has a good one here. Mason Wynn. He says, I'm rooting for Bubba on the bet, but he has 1 home run and 1 steal. Real quick, genius. Before you clap, who did you start at shortstop in Tout Daily tonight, by the way?
Hey, man. It was the last spot. You know, is DFS last spot you fill, you've got like $3,000 left. It's like, which scrub am I just going to
3,500,
3,500 left, which scrub is just at least hitting high in the order, even though
Bichette was priced right next to him, throwing it out there,
even though he shouldn't. And so there's Mason Wynn hitting like first or second at $3,500. Like, yeah, I guess I'll do it. Whatever. Okay. So yeah, I did take Mason Wynn tonight. Bichette had to have been more. DraftKings is messed up if they're the same.
DraftKings hasn't adjusted Nick Kurtz's price all season. He's like $2,800. So you never know sometimes. But
Let's talk more about Mason Wynn. Come on. Yeah, go ahead. You have him on all your teams, so you know.
No, I don't, because everyone's already drafted him because his price went up. So I have a ton of Jeremy Pena. Thank you very much. And Dansby Swanson. So that has turned out to be actually a win for me. Yeah. 256. Dude, since May 1st, the exercise, May 1st, stay focused on the exercise. 256, 3 homers, 1 steal, 26 runs scored, 15 RBIs. There's a reason he's not on this cheat.
Yeah, okay. So Mason Wynn is actually, so he did say he wanted to steal 30 bases this season. It looks like he is on pace to do that by about 2029. So that'll be good. Three bags for Mason Wynn. 5 caught stealings. He's 3 for 8. He's 3 for 8, man.
Hey, awesome. Some call that a Hall of Famer if it's your batting average.
Yeah. Let's do a little beer bet check-in. I know I'm getting fired up here. No one, I don't think anyone cares, but let's do a little player rater, even though Bo Bichette homered again tonight. So furthering his lead, if we do a little Fangraphs.
Mason Wynn had 2 runs tonight.
2 runs. Surprised the Discord didn't go crazy there. Mason Wynn, 22nd overall shortstop. Bo Bichette, 13th. So I'm liking my odds.
If you just want win stat line from the night, go check your DFS lineup. It's right there.
Yeah.
You got that.
Did okay.
All right. De Aversio says Christian Walker. And this one, Walker's waking up. I'm not too worried about this one. It started out very, very slow. Not going to knock that. He had another home run tonight.
Yeah.
He's still only hitting 215 on the season with 10 homers. It has not been what you wanted. I think that's totally fair, but compared to a lot of the other players, like since May 1st, 224, but 5 of those 10 home runs, I'd stay the course on this one.
Ditto. Agreed. I think Christian Walker is going to be fine. Like, the damage has been done. We are far enough into the season that the damage has been done, but same exact to a T, same exact barrel rate that he saw last year in Arizona. Strikeouts are up a little bit. But yeah, I think Christian Walker is going to be fine, though it admittedly has been brutal. 212 batting average for Christian Walker.
Yeah, the average, I think, is the biggest surprise for me in the whole thing.
Yeah.
Scott Burks says Cronenworth and Arise. That is fair. Both not good.
Arise. What is Arise? I mean, we kind of knew Arise wasn't. What's the batting average? That's the key.
It's not even 300, I don't think.
A sub 300 Luis Arise is tough. It's 274. That's pretty brutal.
With 3 home runs and 3 steals.
Which you kind of signed up for. Would you kind of sign? Although, maybe expected a little more power. I don't know. Yeah, not great.
All right, Adam, you can quit those comments in the chat. That'd be great. Appreciate it. He said, I mean, it was the White Sox. Even Victor Scott had a home run tonight. So yeah.
Michael C weighs in. Oh, this is great. Mason went 2 runs tonight. His inability to run is ridiculous. It's not the word I'd use, but
yeah. Agreed. Yep. All right. Next up on the dog here, Dr. Doom has Spencer Steer, who I'm still going to think he's hurt.
Yeah, personally. That's a tricky one. Spencer Steer, like, kind of got rushed back to get in this season. Feel like he's heating up a little bit. No. Well, did homer this week, but yeah, five homers, 3 steals for Spencer Steer's, like, is not there, especially because when you have Spencer Steer, it's for the power speed, and to have only 5 homers, 3 steals is pretty bad. And then the .224 batting average for Spencer Steer, this is on the full season, 22 RBI, 25 runs for Spencer Steer, like, low key been pretty rough despite playing every day. Most days.
Not good at all. This is a good one from Diversio. Michael Harris. do you want me to take this one for you, Ryan, or do you want to run with it? It's more because Michael Harris isn't even doing that. So what do you want to do?
Yeah, no, Michael Harris, especially from, I mean, six homers, 10 steals. It's better than anyone else we've talked about tonight. But I will fully admit, given the draft price, given you spent, given I spent a third round pick and a 15 teamer for a lot of Michael Harris, I'll somewhat put him in the Gene Segura bucket. Again, it's high profile. We all know Michael Harris is struggling. And again, it's not a has done nothing situation. 2 homers this week for Michael Harris. I think he can turn it on at any point. We've seen that from him in the past, but yes, I will agree. It's been so far a bad pick.
Yeah, those 2 homers, the only 2 he's had since May 1st. He had none in the month of May, so that will sting tremendously. Kevin A. has a great one here. Logan Ohapi. I saw some tweets about him today because he's a guy I've actually started benching in DCs where I have 3 catchers, where I'm doing like the roulette in those, and it's been really bad. I can't remember who tweeted it out. It might have been the Guilds, actually. We'll pull up his May 1st numbers here, but he did pick up a hit tonight, which was a plus, but since May 1st, Ohapi's hitting 195. He does have the 6 home runs that saves the day, but 195 is definitely he's going for like the, not this year's version, but like last year's version of Cal Raleigh. Like, I'm knocking it for average, but all the home runs.
Yeah, I'll agree. Like, the recent stretch for Ohapi's been bad, but still, I mean, 14 home runs this season. I mean, that's a 30 home run pace. I know it hasn't come with batting average.
No concerns.
But yeah, kind of sneakily, quietly, hasn't done much lately, but I think Ohapi will be fine. I don't think you're getting back to .244 batting average until that strikeout rate improves, but the power is there. I think he'll be okay, but yeah, kind of a quiet down year for Logan Ohapi. 21 runs scored. Again, I kind of like to look at these hidden stat categories and throw that out there. Not great.
The thing with Ohapi is, he starts out hot, middle of the year bad. He's done this in the past, finishes the year strong. Let's hope for a strong finish with Ohapi. It's kind of, I think the doldrums of catching so much, kind of like, he needs to DH more often would probably be a good thing, but he can't on that team. Derek says, Chase Mydroth, tons of playing time. 1 week hits .380, the next .180 with barely any counting stats. Yeah, he's tilting. He's very tilting.
He is. And I feel like Mydroth had a nice little stint of power speed early, or at least of speed early on, and has not done much with it. Yeah, no steals over the last week. Still 3 over the last month for Chase Mydroth and hitting .280, but 1 home run. Like, this is someone, yeah, if he stops running, and Mydroth's only gone 3 for 6 over the last month. Like, the White Sox might put the kibosh on it if Mydroth is not successful. This is someone who, yes, very much teetering on the edge of doing nothing. Even if he hits .280, and doesn't run, we know we're not going to get power. Someone playing every day and just not doing anything.
Mailman Mike says Adley's been pretty May. Yes, since May 1st, it's been bad, but since June 1st, .356 with 3 home runs. He's changed his whole approach at the plate. They talk about no more toe tap. Like, I'd feel pretty good if you have Adley right now.
Yeah.
Mailman Mike also said Carlos Correa. That's just what you sign up for with him with injuries. He's had some really hot streaks, some really
Agreed.
All right.
And I got nothing. I got nothing. I got the next one's good. And we also, so Pilster in the Discord says Brenton Doyle, but also Paul in the chat says Brenton Doyle. Yeah, man. It's a sub 200 batting average. It's 5 homers, 7 steals on the season. Pretty rough. I don't know. I don't want to kind of personal wise. Doyle's had a very rough season, losing his kid. And
I'm not cutting him though. Cause like we talked about him before, we're seeing the same K rates, the same walk rates. The BABIP's dropped tremendously from last year. We look at like the barrel rates, the best of his career, the hard hit rates, the best of his career. It just feels like, you know, yes, he's going through a ton. He's also had some bad luck out there. And we're just getting into the hottest summer. Like, I'm not like, if you want to bench him, fine, totally get it. But Doyle's a guy that I could see putting on like a 2 to 3 month run where you're just like, okay, like this will work.
Agreed. So. I mean, yeah, I see 7 steals, none caught stealing. So like, he should run more, but he's been effective. And yeah, I see 21 barrels for Brenton Doyle on just 5 homers. I know Coors isn't like the best home run park, but you would expect more power production from 21 barrels for Brenton Doyle. So I like I like a second half rebound, hopefully, for Brenton Doyle.
Yep. Pilster said Ian Happ as well, who we mentioned a second ago. But Francisco Alvarez is another guy that there was a lot of hype a couple of years ago for Francisco Alvarez, and it has not come to fruition, Ryan.
It has not. And I don't, I'm not really in tune into Francisco Alvarez because I don't really have him much. I feel like this is someone we're just waiting and waiting and waiting. He's 23 years old. Like, it still could come at any point. But, dude, he's only had 126 plate appearances this year. But Francisco Alvarez has 7 runs, 10 RBI, 2 home runs, and hitting .241. It's Kieber Ruiz-esque.
Yes, it is. For a more expensive price tag. So for all the Ruiz slander out there, direct it to Francisco Alvarez a little bit, please.
But I would say Alvarez has a higher ceiling. Like if you're, I don't know, guy's 23.
Okay, I'm going to say this, and I'm not saying you're wrong, but to be fair, what's he done to prove that?
Yeah, in the majors, nothing.
Yeah, because I'm only bringing that up, not to fight with you on that, but so many people use that same thing with him. Like, this is why they want to draft him. Like, when, where? Like, we haven't. And it's not like he's a rookie anymore. I know he's still young, but he's had his chances to do something. So,
you've got a very good point.
We're talking catchers. Remember, this is sensitive.
I know you get fired. It's been 900. I would have taken the under on this at a. He's been on a bar bet. 900 career plate appearances for Francisco Alvarez. I think that's a really good call out. I think you need to look at career plate appearances more than just age. So, yeah.
Martin Sikolsky mentions, how the hell did we miss Corey Seager? Yeah, Seager sucks.
I thought you were a big Seager fan. I didn't.
Me?
Surprise.
Okay, surprise. Seager's good for the like 100 games where he's quasi healthy.
Yeah, 2 more IL stints than stolen bases this year for Corey Seager. 14 RBI all year for Corey Seager. Yes, he's missed time, so the counting stats aren't going to be there. But 14 RBI and 173 plate appearances, hitting .238. That's tough. If you drafted Corey Seager, you're screwed. Right. I'm trying to be optimistic here. But, you could also say you're screwed. I don't think you're screwed. I think Corey Seager can go off, man. He's just, I don't know.
I should probably apologize. It's a blatantly honest show for me tonight. This is what bringing out the cigars. You're
coming in hot. I think Uncle Ted put you on tilt earlier with Kieber.
We're cutting ties.
It's been downhill ever since.
We're cutting ties on some of these for sure. So, we're looking at Nielo also says Carlos Correa. He's with you there. Martin Sikolsky says Matt McClain, who he's been banged up a ton as well. Xander Bogaerts, we joked about him before the show. Just not good at all.
Yeah,
Joey Ortiz, Cabrian Hayes. Yeah, this is a list of guys you could definitely just pretty much cut in all formats.
Yeah, I think Bogaerts kind of fits that mold a little bit. I like that one. Your Joey Ortiz, Cabrian Hayes, and even Martin says he always sucks though. Those are guys that are just fringe guys, and you move on quickly.
Smokey Joe mentions Jake Cronenworth. Yes, he's on there for sure. Yes, Kevin mentions this show's generating the most listener questions. That is correct.
This is record breaking. And again, not even questions, but just event fest. So I don't know. Maybe
this is therapy, folks. This is pretty good. This is festive. This is the Aaron's agree. This is Festivus, folks.
Yeah, Festivus. We got a Papa Stiller gift in there from Seinfeld.
This is why I get excited and aggressive at the same time.
Who else we got?
Mailman Mike, Luis Garcia. Yuck. This is fair because I've.
What has he done?
Well, I've debated starting and sitting him almost every week. I look at the weekly schedule sheet that you have going there.
Yeah.
But on the year, hitting 260, 5 homers, 7 steals. Honestly, that's not horrible. You can live with that. And since May 1st, 273, 3 homers, 3 steals. Like, yeah, he's not lighting. He's not on a 2020 pace, but it's not horrible.
Yeah, like the Baseball HQ total season projection for Luis Garcia is. So that's incorporating what he's done so far and then adding in what we project the rest of the way. It'd be 12 homers, 15 steals, 267 batting average, 60 mid-60s runs RBI. Yeah, I mean, that's certainly not what you drafted him for, but also certainly not a Segura quite yet.
He's not an Ozzie Albies, so we're still good in that regard. Let's see. TDK says Tyro, but he's been hurt, so we'll kind of let that one slide for nice hurt again, though, so we'll see. Mm. Scott Slezak says Joey Ortiz, Jonathan India. Those have been mentioned as well. Sean Chard says, does Vlad count if you replace nothing with not nearly enough? That's fair. Vlad's been very good, but what you drafted him for has not been nearly enough. That's a great point, actually.
Agreed. There is a difference, though. There is. Yes. Luis Garcia was the example. Like, if Vlad struggles and does nothing, you know about it, at least if you don't live under a rock, where it's more those middle round guys where that's the silent death.
Adam Seven says Jackson Merrill before he was picked. Correct. Kind of mentioned that in the news and notes section. TDK mentions Brian Reynolds, and that's another very good one because Brian Reynolds has kind of fallen off the face of fantasy this year. He's hitting 222 on the season, 8 homers and 3 stolen bases. It's been very bleak for Brian Reynolds, and someday they might trade him, but the price tag's getting cheaper and cheaper. Since May 1st, 212, 5 homers, 1 steal.
Yeah, I've got some Brian Reynolds, at least on draft and holds, and he is in my lineup every single week. I think just went on the paternity list, so hopefully some dad strength on the rebound there.
Yes, for sure.
I might completely be making that up, but I'm pretty sure Brian Reynolds.
I'll check. And
yes, he is 4 hours ago. Thank God. I got it right. You know me, man. I thought Blake Trinan was pitching earlier tonight.
Yeah, dude. I was like, what? I know I'm tired. What? Adam Seven says Corey Seager. He mentioned him. Scott Slezak, Newt Barr, Reynolds, and sadly, Adamas. Adamas, we talked about him plenty in the last few weeks. That's very fair. Here's a good one. Adam Seven says, very early, but I hate to say Jack Cags. So far, 50 at-bats, 200 average, no homers, 1 run, 2 ribbies, no steals, 11-1 K to walk. That feels a lot like Nick Kurtz, who all of a sudden has woken up.
It's pain. Yes, Jack Cags. Probably not so quietly doing nothing. Like, I am actively tracking how Jack Cags does because I am invested in Jack Caglione. You would go so far as to call him my guy. Don't know if I go that far, but yeah, it's been a tough start. The only good day that Jack Cags has had was the 4-for-4 on Fab Day and has done nothing since then. I'm aware.
I think he'll get, as long as they let him keep getting at bats, he will get there.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Adam Seven says Joey Ortiz. That's been a common one tonight. TDK, Andres Jimenez. Yes. Diverso, Bubba Earmuffs. William Contreras in a one catcher league. Yeah, there's no power. We knew that would happen with the hand. I think he's still more than fine.
What is he? I'm gonna pull up Contreras in the Fangraphs player, because in a one catcher league, that is a really good,
it's a good
distinction. Yeah. He's the number 7 catcher, at least in 5x5 from Fangraphs. So still providing value in a one catcher league, but
not automatic.
Right, exactly.
We got another Corey Seager shout. Kevin Hastings, the Ian Happ here as well. And then gifts from everybody, including myself. Bobo Beyond says Jung Hoo Lee. And this is a good one because talked about him on benched with Bubba today with Ben Tidd, and I thought Lee was a lot better than he's been of late. Still hitting 265, six homers, six steals on the year, which is still pretty good. Thought it'd be better since May 1st, 224, three homers and three steals. That's not what you wanted.
That is not what you wanted, though. It's also, I mean, similar to like the Luis Arias call out earlier. It's I don't want to say get what you paid for, but that's the risk with these kind of empty batting average guys, is they do go long stretches of literally doing nothing if you'd run into some bad BABIP luck and that sort of thing.
Michael C says, not that there's time where he's worth it, but Tyler Fitzgerald, that is correct. He's not worth it. Andy Splinter finishes. We are at the bottom of the list. Thank you.
We made it.
Andy Splinter says, outside three games a couple of weeks ago, CES. Yeah, CES is funny. We started with one of my followers with Albies. We finished with one of my followers in my article with CES. CES comes back from the aisle at Great American, crushes everything. Leaves Great American, can't hit the broadside of a barn. So, but I will say, when you look under the hood, which people love that term, still had plenty of barrels and hard hits when he was there. Yeah. So he's still doing his thing, but the struggle bus was real on the road.
Yep. Yeah, not total Gene Segura, because I mean he hasn't been playing regularly, but yeah, that's a good call out, CES. If anyone has slipped through these cracks, through the Bloom Board, through the Discord, that is a Gene Segura All-Star, I will be shocked. That was a hell of a job by the crew. Good job reading it all, my friend.
I tried. Dr. Doom mentions, we're venting about pitchers next week, right? Yeah. We don't have that much time. We do not have that much time. It's the last, like, couple of weeks have been rough.
And I don't even know if pitchers can be Gene Segura's, because I always check my pitcher lines. And we all know if a pitcher gets blown up, like, you as a pitcher, you kind of, like, you don't do nothing. You either pitch well or you get, like, blown up. And so it's a lot harder to kind of slip under the radar and be bad as a pitcher, in my opinion.
By the way, it's got a notification. Jake Cronenworth just got his second steal of the year tonight.
There we go.
All right. Final thoughts, my friend. That was quite the exercise. And, man, maybe we should reevaluate things with half the season to go.
Yeah, can't wait for the Kiber Ruiz rebound in the second half. It's going to be glorious. Fun show. Therapeutic for me, at least.
It will be interesting to do a board at the end of the season, if physically possible. Who met the criteria for the first half? Who like was a top player? Like how they fare in the second half type thing would be interesting to see which ones were worth the patience. And if it's like, you know, three quarters of them, okay, we should be patient, so on and so forth. That'd be interesting.
Because some of these guys are dropped, have been dropped, will be dropped, and ton of season left. You can make the case for a second half pickup and a second half run for some of these guys. Who are they? I don't know. They don't pay me enough to get those right, but it's going to happen.
All right. We'll wrap it up there. And speaking of that, patreon.com/BubbaBloom. If you're looking for the goodies there, tons of awesome stuff to help you with your fantasy baseball team. So go check that out. Check out the podcast on Twitter at BubbaBloomPod. Check out Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ. I'm at BDintric. This was a fun one, folks. I enjoyed it thoroughly. I hope everybody else did as well. This was Bubba and the Bloom, episode 252. Catch y'all next time.